Isn't it amazing that we who have so many divided allegiances can get together and have something greater in common, which is really why we're here this morning, isn't it? To be able to say, we're really, aside from who we're rooting for, what happens in the game tonight, we're really rooting for God, and we're really here to listen to God speak. That's the word for the day, is listen. Some of you are really into word scrambles. Have you seen these things? Where words are all scrambled up and you figure out what the words are, the letters mean. If you take the letters in listen and scramble them up and make another word out of them, do you know what other word you can make out of those letters? Silent. Did you know that silent and listen have the same words in letters in them? I think that's more than just coincidence. And so I invite you to calm your souls and listen from the Word of God, from the Gospel according to Luke, the 9th chapter. This is the story of the Transfiguration. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up onto a high mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. And while he was saying this, a cloud overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. And then from the cloud there came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent in those days and told no one of the things that they had seen. All right, there's a lot of messages that we could draw out of this story, but the phrase that caught my attention, often there's a phrase that jumps out to me, was that phrase where God is speaking to Peter and to John and to James about Jesus and says, "Listen to him." And even more specifically, that one word caught my attention, listen. Who are some of the people that you listen to? Who are some of the people you listen to?
Mom and Dad.
Mom and Dad, that's a good idea. Listen to your mom and dad. Who are some of the people you listen to?
To my mom.
To your mom? Who are some of the people you listen to?
God.
To God. That's a good person to listen to, isn't it? God who created the universe and keeps all things in order. Jesus who is the physical representation of him. The Holy Spirit who's the ongoing presence in the world. Who are some of the people you listen to?
My boss.
Your boss. That's why I wore a referee's uniform, to try to give you a hint here. The officials in the world are kind of important people to listen to. Our bosses, police officers, firemen. Who are some? Your wife. Your spouse. That's always good, especially if you want a healthy marriage. Who do you listen to? Your mom and your dad? And God and Jesus. Who are some of the people we listen to? Professional athletes? They seem to have our ear a lot of the time. Who do you listen to? Jesus? Grandma and Grandpa? And my teachers? Good people to listen to. I thought it would be appropriate, since we're talking about listening, to ask some questions like, how does God speak? How does God speak these days? And how can we be better listeners? But to do that, I thought probably first I ought to back up, and let's have a moment of confession here. Can we start out by admitting that we don't always do such a good job of listening? Peter and James and John go with Jesus up onto a high mountain to pray. I think here Peter is the example of a person who is a bad listener. Partly because, do you notice what he's doing when Jesus is having this miraculous experience, being transformed, his appearance is changing? He's half asleep, first of all. It's really hard to listen when you're half asleep, isn't it? And secondly, He's talking. We're told he starts talking about building these booths, one for Moses and one for Jesus and one for Elijah, because he didn't know what else to say. Because, in other words, he was speaking before he was thinking. Ouch! That one hurts, doesn't it? Have you ever found yourself doing that? Speaking before you think? You say the words, you know this feeling? You say the words out loud and then you listen to what you've just said and you think to yourself, did I just say that? There's a story about King Edward VII, who was king in England back in the early 1500s. In those days, children or anybody was supposed to ask permission to speak to the king. King Edward had a grandson by the name of David. And they were at a formal dinner together, and David was trying to get his grandpa, King Edward's, attention. And grandpa just didn't give him any attention. He said, hold on, wait till there's a break in the conversation, and then, David, you can say what you have to say. So the conversation went on, there was a break in the conversation, and then King came back to David and said, all right now, what is it that you had to say? David spoke up and he said, well, it really doesn't matter now, Grandpa, but there was a caterpillar on your lettuce. And now you've eaten it. When we don't listen to what's being said, we're liable to miss out, aren't we? One of my pet peeves with listening is, have you ever had this happen to you? You're talking to somebody and then they get a buzz or a beep and suddenly they're doing this. They're saying, oh, I'm still listening, but their thumbs are doing this. Cell phones can be one of the distractions that keeps us from listening well, can't they? There's a guy by the name of Maxie Dunham who was the president down at Asbury Theological Seminary down by Lexington, Kentucky for a long time. I was reading one of his sermons on this topic, and he has a kind of a test of things that you can ask yourself to see whether or not you're doing a good job listening. Here's some of the things that he thinks are good questions to ask ourselves to see whether we're listening. He says, since you think four times faster than a person usually talks, do you use this time to think about what the person is saying, or do you use the time to think about other things that you should be doing? Another question he asks is, do you listen primarily for facts rather than ideas when someone is talking to you? Do you avoid listening to things that you will feel will be too difficult to understand? Probably qualities of a not so good listener. Can you tell from a person's appearance and delivery that they won't have anything worthwhile to be said? While someone is talking to you, do you appear to be paying attention when you're not really? Do certain words or phrases prejudice you so you can't listen objectively? When listening, are you distracted by outside sights and sounds? When you're listening, do you try to solve a person's problems or do you try to support the person? That's a pretty good list about being a good listener, isn't it? How do we even know when it's God speaking? There on the mountaintop, suddenly Moses and Elijah were seen talking to Jesus and they heard the very voice of God speaking. Do you think that's a one-time experience? Or do you think there are some lessons in this story that we can hear about how God is always speaking to us? I do believe that sometimes God supernaturally breaks in and breaks all the rules when he has something to say and just needs to get our attention. But I also believe that God is always speaking, and often we don't hear because our ears aren't attuned. I was talking to a person the week before last about how they became a Christian, and their story went something like this. I was training for my very first marathon, and I was out running one day. I was on my long run, and there was this bird that flew out in front of the path. And when the bird flew out, I had this overwhelming sense of peace. I had this feeling like I was loved in a way no human being could possibly love. And I knew that I had to know more about that kind of a God. How do you know when that's God speaking? How do you know when that's just a bird that's flown in front of the path? I think there are some clues in this passage, and let me suggest them quickly. One is Jesus was standing there with Moses. Peter and James and John, when they saw Moses, probably would have thought, the guy that led them out of the land of Egypt, into the wilderness, remember the Red Sea, parting of the Red Sea, water on either side, remember the giving of the commandments, There were 10, but there were a whole lot more. Lawgiver on. Or in other words, they probably would have thought of the way that God had worked in the past. That's one way to test what you think you're hearing God saying is it consistent with the way that God has worked in the past? Because since God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the God that we know has spoken in the past probably will speak in much, maybe not in the same ways, but at least with the same content as God has spoken in the future. The other one that was there with Jesus was the prophet Elijah. I got to asking myself, why Elijah? Why not Ezekiel or Jeremiah or Daniel? Why Elijah? Do you know what is unique about Elijah? He's the only prophet, one of the few people that we are told didn't experience death. When he left this world, do you remember how he did it? There was this tornado, this whirlwind, and he was taken up in the whirlwind. And so the custom became that he had never experienced death. And so people came to believe that one day he'd return and come back. Or in other words, here, Elijah, I think, represents the future. So part of the test I think we can give of whether or not what we are hearing is God speaking is, does what we are hearing bring us hope for the future? Does it make us look forward? Does it believe that the God who has acted in the past is the God who will act again in the future? Or in other words, it's important to know the scriptures. Because we're created in the image of God, it's important, I think, we have this sense within us when God is speaking. And because God is a God of the future, we might ask, does what we are hearing bring hope? Does it make me look forward to the God who has yet to work in the future? Which brings me to the last question. How do we listen for God? Peter said to Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make 3 dwellings, one for you and one for Moses and Elijah, because he didn't know what to say. What am I hoping that you'll get out of this time together? Well, one is, if the God who has worked in the past speaks in the past, one way that we can see how God has spoken in the past is through the scriptures. Study the Bible. We call it the Word of God for a reason. I'm hoping this week you'll spend some time studying the scriptures. And if regular daily Bible study is already a part of your daily routine, then I suggest that you look specifically for places where it talks about God speaking and what you might learn in there about how we can be good listeners to God. Secondly, I hope that you'll spend some time this week praying. And if you're already a person who spends time regularly in prayer, then I challenge you this week to spend some time during your prayer time listening. Often when we pray, we do a lot of talking to God. Include in there some time to listen. And thirdly, since I can promise you God is going to be speaking to you this week, and also I've noticed that in the Bible when you hear stories of people speaking, there almost always is some confirmation of God's message through other people. Listen to the other people around you and what they might be saying to you about what God has to say. God will be persistent. And so if you hear it once, maybe it's a fluke. If you hear it twice, you got to start noticing the pattern. If you hear it a third time, then it very well may be God. God is persistent and will keep speaking until he gets through. I wanted to share a last story about a time when I've heard God speaking. It's kind of my own personal transfiguration experience. It's been a lot of years since I've shared this story, so it goes back to when our kids were young. So this is probably, 20 years ago? I grew up in an area of upstate New York called the Finger Lakes region. In the middle of New York State, there's an area where it looks like there are 5 lakes, like an upside-down hand. And I grew up on a town that's on the end of one of those lakes called Ithaca. Not too far from Ithaca, there's a waterfall called Tiganic Falls. Highest waterfall east of the Mississippi, 200 and something feet. It means that the water has to fall far enough that there's always a mist at the bottom of the waterfall. And what happens when you've got a mist on a sunny day? You know what you always get? You almost always get a rainbow. All right. Dawn and I had just gotten married, and I wanted to show them the area where I'd grown up. And so we went, and we visited Ithaca, and we visited Tiganic Falls. In order to get to the Gannick Falls, there's a path that goes up the river that comes off the falls, and about a mile you have to walk up this path. Most of it is a wooded area, but then you get to the end of the wooded area, and it just kind of opens up, and there's this wall of rock and this waterfall and the rainbow. So we got to the end of the path, it opened up, the kids saw the rainbow. I think Elizabeth was about 3 and Christopher was about 7. You know what kids do when they see a rainbow? Not only were they like, wow, they were absolutely amazed, but also they wanted to find the end of the rainbow because they wanted that pot of gold. So they took off looking for the rainbow. Now, have you ever chased a rainbow, though? You know what happens when you chase a rainbow? The closer you get, the further it goes away, or it disappears entirely, or it moves. Dawn and I had chased rainbows before, and so we weren't quite as enthusiastic, so we kind of sat back. Well, from their point of view, the rainbow got further away and then disappeared. They thought it was cool to be near the bottom of the falls, and so they found some rocks and were playing on the rocks. But you know what had happened from our point of view? The kids were covered in the rainbow. That was, for me, a chance where God was speaking, say, these are my beloved children. With them I am well pleased. What if God really is with us? What if we're surrounded by more beauty than we can ever imagine? What if God's unconditional love really is reaching out to us? And what if God really does want to offer us grace? But sometimes the reason that we don't do a very good job of seeing is because there's a veil that's keeping us from hearing and seeing. One last point I just wanted to briefly touch on, and that is where this appears in the gospel. In the gospel of Matthew and Mark and Luke, it is the last story, the last experience Jesus has before he sets his face towards Jerusalem. It's as if God knew that if Jesus was going to face the challenges that were before him on his way to the cross, he was going to need a word of encouragement. He was going to need to know that he was loved, that he was chosen, and that he was on a mission. And so that's where I'd like to leave you next, with a little bit of nourishment for the journey, to remind you that our God is a God of grace who keeps speaking, and the most tangible way I know to say that is to gather around the Lord's table as we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion.